And right. the shows were great. I mean, except one where my friends got drunk and decided to heckle me right in the beginning of the show, which messed up the whole show. I hope I have some tapes, so, because there was a guy that was taping the show, so hopefully I can get that. Because I'm gonna flip it out and I'm gonna send it to them and be like, "This is it. This is
it." Let's hear about this. What kind of heckling? Okay, can I just, before you tell us what kind of heckling it was? I had this one experience. It was in it was my very first Edinburgh as well, and I was on with another comic called Dougie Dunlop. He's a great, fantastic comic, good guy. His sister came, and she heckled like it was a four person bill. It's one of when you first do Edinburgh, you know, you gotta have a four person split bill. So like a 90-minute time slot, four of us, and she heckled the other three of us all and kept going like, "Bring Dougie out," you know, and like we purposely were having Dougie headline because his sister and her friends are there, and so we're like, "All right, Dougie, you get to close the show." But from the get go, from like the first act coming out, she was just like, "Boo, bring out my brother," and it just she ruined the whole show. And even ended up coming out at the end trying to explain to her, "You have fucked up this show." So I'm just curious, what kind of heckling were you?
Yeah, I think every heckler fucked the show. You know, what happened was, it was like the perfect storm of like, have a shit show. Because, so my friends got in, they were in the first show. I was two Friday night, two shows.
Yeah.
They came to the first show and they were already like drunk. Because they picked me up at the hotel with Fabrizio. And they were already like drunk. And I was like, why? Because we had like, we had lunch, we had a barbecue at my friend's place, and I left, you know, to pay for the show. When they picked me up, they were drunk. I was like, "What happened in 2 hours?" So they're already drunk, you know, and they stayed for the show. So the second show, the manager's like, "Hey, if you want to stay, they can stay." And I was, they stayed for the second show, already drunk. And then I didn't know this, so they had other people that stayed also from the first show, which is, I don't know, why would you stay to see another show, which is going to be the same show, you know, but that's the thing that people don't, that some people don't realize. Some people, again, a lot of people don't know anything about stand-up, and they think we come up with this stuff on our own, and it's like everything is new. So what happened was, is like, as soon as I start, I go up and I go like, "Hey," something about, I grew up in Bethesda, and then one of my friends who I know, like, I think yelled, like, "Where in Bethesda?" or something like that. I don't know. And this is my friend who's like, he has like a worse accent than I do. So then my thing was like, it's like, "Wait, you're asking me where I'm from?" I'm like, "Well, the question is, where are you from?" You know? So that got a laugh. And then I was like,
that probably really confused your friend too. Cause your friend's like, "But you know, why would you question me, friend?"
So I made fun of him like really good. And like, and then that shut him down. And then there was like three friends. One of my friends who's also drinking and semi-drunk, but he was like, he told the other guys to shut up. Later on, he told me, he's like, because my friend afterwards, he came up to me and the whole bullshit of like, "Well, I was helping you." Yeah, like, you know, the typical heckler thing. And I was like, "No." And my friend was telling me, like, "I told you, that doesn't help. You ruined you." And what happened was, even though they got, because I was in the beginning right away. After that, they got quiet. But what happened was, so that day, that allowed other people who were in the drunk also for the first show to start screaming. And then the worst part was, like, the manager of the club thought that the people that were also screaming were also my friends, which were not. So he didn't want to say anything. So then basically throughout the whole show, these guys, nobody came to shut them down. So you know, I couldn't do anything. Every time I would do a premise, "I hear that," "Oh, you're going to talk about this again." And then I just had to go into, and then there was another couple who were like, "We're here." And then people who actually were here that wanted to actually see the show. So it was, the whole show was like a complete perfect storm of a shit show. You know, it was good. I had fun. I got, but I didn't do any material. I basically was like, just a lot of crowd work and talking, and it just,
it sounds,
so it was
like,
good to have one
like the kind of shows bad. It does sound like the kind of shows that you would expect to have at the end of a quarantine of a pandemic. Like,
I mean, obviously,
people who have forgotten how to be in public and who have maybe drank too
well,
much.
Well, that was the excuse of my
at something.
Yeah, that was the excuse of my friend. You know, my friend. They were like, "Yeah, it's just because I guess we haven't been out for for a while, and it's like the first time, and I don't know what happened. We just like, yeah."
I think that really makes sense, man. Totally
It kind of makes sense, but I was like, I still made fun of them because I was like, why? Because I mean, one of my friends got fucked, like literally, like had to threw up in the bathroom, you know, and then fell asleep during the show. So like,
oh, wow.
I mean, and it was like, and it was funny because it's the three of them, and the three of them were in like different types of drunks. So yeah. it's like three stooges of drunkenness. You know, right. They're like, there was like the guy who's like arguing, then that's like just like kind of laughing, and yeah, you know, and then that was like hugging and shit. I was like, oh my god, yeah.
They're just creating more work for you. All of a sudden, you're the stand-up comedian for the night and the chaperone and the babysitter.
Yeah. So it was a funny story, but yeah, like that. Yeah. But luckily, then the next night, the shows were great. It was even more people and
right.
no drunks, no hecklers, nothing. So yeah, but we have Lara Bites. She's amazing. I met her at the Comedy Store, and she's originally from Milwaukee, but she's done really great. She's now done shows in Comedy Central, Showtime, but also recently just did Joe Rogan's podcast, which was a very big thing for any comic. So, but she also. Came to us, you know, which was cool. I mean, you could tell like, she came from Joe Rogan's to Standby. And we appreciate that because we learn a lot of things, especially we learn a very interesting thing of what she brings to travel with her, you know, which was a very interesting thing. It's the first one we had.
That was very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to ruin it, but you're going to have to listen to it. But Lara Bites, amazing. Listen to this interview because we had a really, really good time.
Yeah, man. There you go.
Listen to Lara. Bye, hello.
Hooray!
Woo! Welcome to this Standby with JJ and Podcast, episode 20th. And we have an amazing guest tonight.
Yeah, look who we've got. We've got Lara Bites. Hello. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thank
How are you.
You
doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, you're good? Yeah, are you coping? You're coping in the mess?
Yeah, it's over. As far as I'm concerned, I decided. That
you decided it. You're like, I'm calling it. You're calling it.
I'm calling it. Doctors won't tell you. Scientists won't tell you. But vaccine, so I'm done.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I got my vaccine, so I'm like, for me, it's over. Yeah.
I went to the mall yesterday. It was so great.
I know, like for me, I just came from DC. I had a show. I mean, first time like traveling in a year, and like I just felt so like I told him, like I would not have been, I would not enjoyed it at all if I didn't have the vaccines. I would have been like weirded out. Like, everybody's kind of like chilling, whatever, doing whatever they. But just the fact that I had that, I felt good, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I traveled too. After I got it, and I felt the same way. Like I would have not been able.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was looking even in the airplane. Like the it was packed. I'm like, everybody was there. People were like, there was this guy sitting next to me, just like he would take the mask off to eat, but he would leave it there the whole flight. And I'm like, fucking put you. But it, like I. But if it was without the vaccine, I would have been like,
Yeah, especially on a plane, man. The air is already being thoroughly circulated through the plane. Well done, both of you, because I haven't been vaccinated, and I'm starting to think, I listen to you guys talk like that, and I'm starting to think, maybe I've enjoyed solitary confinement a little too much.
It's time. You can go to Dodger Stadium now, and you can go to Bakersfield now, and they're waiting for ability because they have so many extras.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, which one did you get, Lara?
I got the Pfizer. What do I
get? Pfizer. That's right. Pfizer for life.
So you guys both got one and done.
No, two. No, Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson is the only one that's one shot.
Oh, I thought Moderna was... Oh, so Moderna and Pfizer. Okay, I haven't had to... I'm trying somewhere tomorrow. I'm told, and I have a lead on one, and I'm going to go try it tomorrow morning, see if I can get my first one. But I'm tempted to just continue living out of my apartment.
Out of your apartment and be vaccinated.
Yeah, you can still go back to your hole. And, Yeah,
that's true. You didn't have to
be susceptible to a deadly disease to stay at home.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, you can also die of other stuff too at your place.
Yeah, that's true. You can die of other stuff still.
Says Francisco, who's been to my apartment, so he understands.
Yeah, yeah. I meant for like depression or something like that for you. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I haven't had a.
Thanks. Let's have a pile on now, shall we?
This is actually not a podcast. This is an intervention for JJ. Get out of your apartment, man.
Lara, I want to say to you, I felt very self-conscious about getting your name right. And so I was doing my research today. So I've listened to a lot of your stand-up. I've watched a lot of your stand-up. And I've watched various intros of you do your stand-up. And I thought something funny just happened, I think, in my world anyway. I watched you and Annie Letterman discuss getting your name wrong, and I literally was there watching you for 15 minutes. The two of you were talking about getting names wrong all the time, and she didn't say your name, and I was kept waiting. I was like, it's gonna happen because you're actually talking about the subject and she's gonna do it. And finally you said to her, you go, what did you call me? And she goes, I called you Laura. And I was like, oh, it's the wrong part of the name. I thought I already understood that bit. So I did all that waiting.
I wonder if she can say it.
She did say it a lot later in the podcast. She did say it. But in this segment where you guys were actually talking about getting the name wrong, I was like, any second now. And it was just a lot of like, here it comes. And then it didn't come. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I'll be ready to go on stage and I'll ask the host to say my name back to me. I'll be like, can you just say my name? And they'll say it, and people will practice it in front of me, say it correctly, repeatedly, and then go on stage and fall apart. So it's Lara Beats.
Yeah.
And people will be like, Lara Beats. And they'll do it after. I'm like, you just said it five times.
Yeah. Yeah.
People get in their heads about it and mess it up.
It's the pressure of the moment. That's why I had to go with JJ. I used to go Jason John Whitehead all the time. And then I moved to America a few years ago, and nobody could ever get it. Everybody was forgetting it by the time they're introducing me. So I just started going, all right, just go with JJ. Because there's something about that pressure of introducing you. They never get it right.
Where are you from?
I came out of Britain. So I did a lot of comedy in Britain. I was my career was in Britain for 15 years as Jason John Whitehead. Then I moved here. And then it was like, James John, here comes Jimmy Joe. And I'm like, oh, God, it's time to, I don't know. Sometimes it's legitimately that they're making the mistake. And then sometimes you just think, oh, this is just American competitive spitefulness.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, I've learned to get used to people like not calling me. Like, so I just like play around with it. You know, I mean, I tell them like, hey, ever, you know, like, because it's always like Francisco Ramos, is Ramos, Ramos. I was like, say whatever you want. And then if they mess it up, I mean, then I'll go, then I'll make fun of it. But it's like, I just got tired of correcting people. I'm like, you know, if they ask me, I'll tell you. And then if you mess it up, then I'm fine with it.
It's fine. I mean, most audiences have trouble remembering our names by the end of our sets anyway. You're just you're the person. You're the person that was wearing red.
My parents, like, I would get in trouble if someone said my name wrong and I didn't correct them when I was a kid. Like, I got scolded. Right. I think because they probably regretted naming me something that no one could say. One of people be able to say my name. I didn't really like the name Laura. So it's like still ingrained in me. I still can feel them. I can feel myself like getting in trouble if I don't correct people.
Yeah. Ah, that makes sense. That's great. Well, I mean, I think we should, I just want to give a little quick intro to the audiences listening. You know, your little credits of you. You've been on Showtime, Fox, Comedy Central, and you just did Joe Rogan's podcast, which you did it like a week ago. Well, it came out like a week ago, right?
Yeah, so, last week.
Last week, right? Yeah. So right, you just did it, which is like, you know, you came from like one of the biggest podcasts in the world to one of the other biggest podcasts in the world. So it's just, you're just like rolling in. Like, it was hard to get you. I was like, man, how's it gonna, she gonna be like, I just did Joe Rogan's podcast.
I do say no to a lot of podcasts. I will say that I am selective.
That's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like a podcast is you talking to someone for an hour.
Yes. So
I've had conversations with people where I've struggled to get through 5 minutes with them.
Right.
And it's also like to like you said, you're talking for an hour, and also what you're, you know, whatever you say in an hour, you know, and that's recorded there, that's out there, and then you know how it is now with like they can just use one little soundbite of something, and then you're like, wow, that's like
Yeah. Well, and after I did Rogan, I was like,
you're like, fuck.
Calling my friends, I was like, I said this, I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. I was so scared. And
could you go back to like Joe and be like, hey, do you mind cutting that? Or you're like, nah,
do they have that deal going in?
I would never, I've never asked him for anything. And so I don't ask him for stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone where I think so many people ask him for stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, like we talked for over 2.5 hours. So no matter what I had him clip, I said stuff that like pissed people off that I would never have thought that people would have a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is like, yeah, talking for so long.
Eating. Yeah. And I'm like, that literally just is what I'm eating. And I said so many other things, but actually, Jessica Michelle Singleton, who's a comedian who I know you know, Francisco.
Yeah.
She offered in such a beautiful act of friendship. She was like, do you want me to just sign into your social media as you and just like block people and delete? And I was like, yes.
So oh, wow.
Into all social media, blocked everyone who left a negative comment on Rogan.
Oh, wow.
That's a great friend.
I know. Blocked everyone who left a negative DM so that when I went in, and this was on Twitter and Instagram, so that when I went in, it was just people being like, you're so inspiring, you're so funny.
Nice.
That's
but I mean, I don't, why would even, like, I just don't even, I would fathom people leaving negative comments for you. I don't know why. I mean, but I know there's like, there's people out there that just want to be annoying for no matter reason, or they're just, you know, they're trolls literally.
Yes,
so like,
there's a default dirtbag level to internet comments.
Yeah. Like,
know, it's not a, yeah.
I also think that there are like a lot of fans that he has who are just jealous of me because I got to talk to him so long.
Yeah. You're like, who are you? Yeah. Cause they're used to him having a type of guest, and then you come like, what, you know, so yeah. So,
yeah, on some level, they secretly want to have sex with him and haven't admitted it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot, some are there. Some is also like a father figure, you know, a lot of them maybe don't have a, you know, a relationship, you know, a lot of stuff like that, you know, but which has nothing to do with you, which is the funniest part, but like, obviously they're going to, you know, go against you because, you know, they're not going to go against him.
Some of them don't even drink. They just want to have lots of energy drinks with him or something, man.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm going to congrats on that. That's a great awesome accomplishment. And, but thank you for, you know, for joining us. And
now you're in the big leagues. So welcome.
But our questions, I mean, are going to be, you know, I don't think there are going to be anything like he asked, you know, our questions are pretty easy and chill, and then And yeah, and you can also let us know if you want to take some of this stuff out. We'll do it. So you can obviously let us know.
But I appreciate that.
Yeah, I always like to say we had a guest on a few weeks ago, Larry Dean, Scottish comedian, and it still reverberates with me that he was like, okay, I know these are really easy questions and the answers are going to be personal to me, but I'm still afraid that I'm about to fail. So you don't have to worry about that at all. Going to be straightforward. It's all about travel and the arts. Francisco and I, we didn't do our coin flip before the pod. Do you want me to kick it off, buddy?
Yeah, you go. You go first.
All right, Laura, sorry. here's question number one. Pretty straightforward. I know that you are Hollywood, you're LA based now, but we were wondering, and I, after watching some of your stand up, you're from the Midwest. As a Canadian, sometimes I don't know exactly what exactly the Midwest is. But the first question is, what was the first big move of your comedy career? Like, perhaps for the sake of your comedy career.
Yeah, I moved from Milwaukee to Chicago. So I did 3 years of stand-up in Milwaukee, and then I moved to Chicago, which is just like an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you started in Milwaukee, stand-up. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. How long have you been doing stand-up?
At that time, I'd been doing it for 3 years, and then I did 3 years in Chicago, and then I've been here for five. So
three wow.
plus five, 11.
Wow, that's great. that's cool because it's always like, this is a math problem.
You've crushed two questions right away. Look at that.
Well, it's like this past year really messed with my concept of time.
I feel like it's
been that long, but it has.
I know, it really
sucks. That's great.
Because sometimes you want to say last year I was doing a thing, and then you have to take a beat and go, oh no, actually it was 2 years ago that I was doing this thing that I want to talk about.
But did you start, this is funny because I grew up in DC area, but I never started doing stand up there. I started in LA. How was the comedy scene in Milwaukee? Was it like just few people doing it, or was it big? I don't know. Like, how did you start with that? Like doing open mics, like all of us?
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, it was small. I think that I came on the scene when it was like just starting to grow. So my two friends were like starting shows, and we were starting shows. And so that was that made up a lot of the scene, was just stuff that we started doing. You know,
I had
a weekly open mic, and we had like a show every week and then some less regular ones. But my first set I ever did was an open mic at the comedy club there, where I never even ended up getting booked. It's so crazy to like look back on it and be like, I never... Like people talk about their home clubs, and I'm like, I never got booked, but it doesn't matter anymore because I had the experience, and that's all that was going to be valuable coming out of that anyway.
Yeah, and sorry to ask, but was it called the Comedy Club?
It was called the Comedy Cafe.
Oh, okay, all right, pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah. Nice. So when you make that move to Chicago, is it a move that you do with friends of yours, for example? Like, was there a few of you comics that you guys are like, we gotta go to the Big Smoke?
No.
And team up together.
No, that always looked like such a good idea to me when people move with other people. But I've just moved alone. The times that I've moved, I moved alone to Chicago, and I moved alone to L.A., and there was a period adjustment. I mean, it was hard as hell.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it just gets easier and easier. And you just frankly do what you have to do. And you deal with what you have to deal with. And I've been in gnarly living situations, but I worked my way up to like a beautiful one bedroom apartment that I love living in, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's awesome.
Us.
Yeah.
And did you ever, did you always wanted to do stand up, or that was a thing that you, from the beginning, like when you were like a kid, or is that something that you developed after?
Yeah, I always wanted to do stand up, and I would sit on the sink, interview myself in
Oh, wow.
In my bathroom mirror when I was like a little kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried to do stand-up for the first time when I was like 9 at a Girl Scout talent show. And like,
oh, wow.
Bombed because I like didn't have any jokes, you know.
Well, you're also 9. I mean, like, yeah, was, yeah. I don't think bombing, you're not bombing at 9. You're just, it's already incredible to go up in front of anybody when you're nine years old. Yeah.
I didn't have another talent, you know,
right.
Like the only, I mean, the way that I like got people to like me was by being funny. You know, I'm like a weird kid. I like got made fun of a lot in school. And I mean, I think a lot of kids get made fun of a lot, you know, but, that was how I defended myself. It was how I made friends. And it was just always, it was also how I like tried to make my home a happier place. There would be like a lot of tension and I would try to make people laugh and it worked a lot of the time. And that was like from the time I was a baby. I mean, I would like put on sunglasses or like come out in like different hats and make funny faces and try to get people to laugh.
Wow. Wow. So you're, that's great. You always like knew you had that. And then you like, but it's also like you already realized I want to do this as a career, you know, because for me, like, you didn't? Okay.
No, I never thought it was an option, you know, like, a bit, like being a rock star, like it would have been the thing I would want to do more than anything, but I didn't think that that was for people like me. My plan was to just like try to get the best job I could get, you know, try to get into the best school I could get into. But I was very good in school either because I was always daydreaming and talking. I would not stop talking.
Right.
But then I had a friend who was like doing open mics in Milwaukee and I came and saw him and the comedy was so terrible. And I was like, I can do that. I can do that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's
addicted to it and I am still.
Yeah. So does that mean your friend's not doing it anymore then, I gather?
I don't know.
Right. Probably a no.
I really don't know.
Well, but it's funny you mentioned that because that's exactly like when I first started thinking of doing stand up or something that I was like, I think it's like, I think I read Judy Carter's Comedy Bible.
Me too.
You know, like that was like the only thing that I read about, I mean, class wise, because I don't think stand up, you should not take a class, but I think I read that. But one of the things that said, it was like, I think I remember like, yeah, if you think you've looked at somebody, you think you can do this or you're, and I remember the same thing. I think I went to like an open mic or something and I would see people and I'm like, yeah, I know. And that was like the first, because I was like very into sports, but I could never like see somebody play basketball. I'm like, yeah, I can do that better, right. You know? But then I saw somebody like, yeah, I know I can be funnier than that guy. Yeah. You know?
It's real trouble too, because I think a lot of people feel that way when they see it. Like, I know that we know it in our little
but I think
comic it's
realistic.
But
but is it realistic? I feel like me and Lara were like, thinking it was like a real, is a real like thing. Like there's also like very like people that are delusional, you know, that they go, you know, like I wasn't good at anything. Like, so this is the first time that I was like, oh, I'm better than the average you know? And that's why I was like, for me, it was like, ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was shitting myself, actually. I knew I really desperately wanted to do it. I wanted to do it since I was a little kid, but I remember watching it and hoping that I'd be really good at it. But I remember on my way to my first gig, performing at my first like Monday Night Raw kind of thing in Scotland, I was like, all right, I'm about to find out if my dreams of the last 14 years are true at all. And if not, I better find some new dreams. But luckily it went all right, you know.
Nice.
But, I didn't have that kind of the confidence that you guys are saying of like, I'm better than this. I'm better than this.
No, well, for me, it wasn't like I had confidence. I mean, I was like, had like struggled with confidence and trying to, but it was a different thing of like, but I know I can do that, or I'm better than this person. But then obviously when you do it, you still have to have confidence. You know, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
for me, it wasn't as much about confidence as a disrespect for the people.
Yeah. That's true. My thing was that it wasn't like I'm better than them, but I was like, they suck.
They're so
bad that I like, even if I suck, I'm better than them sucking at this, you know. Yeah.
Totally. Well, and so many people who are like really new and consequently really bad, it's because they are just trying to be edgy and they confuse
funny.
They confuse offensive with
mm-hmm. yeah.
So you just go, you know, to a bar and, you know, it smells like
mozzarella
sticks and the guy is doing terrible shit and it's like, it's bad.
Yeah. That's the same kind of confidence where afterwards they're like, I walked three people because I'm edgy and they don't get me. And then you have to explain to them, no, you walked three people because you fucking bored them to death.
Yeah, and you didn't have punchlines.
Well, and also I think there's also people that are just not funny. I mean, like not natural. I think to me, you have to be naturally funny. Like you were saying when you were growing up, that was you've been naturally funny since you were born. I think you have to have that. Like, I mean, you can have the funniest jokes, but if you're not that funny, you know, like you have some funny thing about you, then you're not funny, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to the second questions. This one, it's, so what kind of travel did you do as a kid for family holidays?
I had two grandmas. And one of them lived 4 hours away and one of them lived 10 hours away. And we would see both of them every winter break. And it was brutal. Those 10-hour car rides, because that was before, like, you know, we didn't have like a portable DVD player. We had like a mini like checkers set. Yeah. And I had my one sister.
You had one older sister, right?
You know, and she would be in like the seat in front of me and she'd be like, you're breathing. I can't hear you. Or I'd be like thinking with like my mom's Walkman and she'd be like, I can hear your S's. It's just like it felt like those drives were forever. And every time I asked my parents how much further we had, no matter what, they would say 10 minutes.
Wow. Like Papa Smurf.
Yeah, we would have like 6 hours left and they would say 10 minutes.
That's funny. And where were you going?
Council Bluffs, Iowa and Peoria, Illinois.
Okay. So, but there were like different trips or you would visit both grandmas at the same trip?
I remember doing a 4-hour drive and a 10-hour drive. So remember driving from one to another. I feel like we did separate trips for them.
Mm-hmm.
Every winter break, which is like, it's so crazy. That's so much.
That's a funny thing. Like we've seen, like, because of all the people, every time we interview people and ask that question, like every parent has that same drive. Like, I think it's like everybody was just like, well, we're going to drive 10 hours. And then it's always the same thing. It's like parents are like, is that a thing that you do when you become a parent? Like you're just like, well, I'm just going to make my family suffer and let them drive for.
Well, buddy, I also think it's got to do with comedians. I think it helps you become a comedian. These kind of, not to call them hardships or anything, but this kind of traveling, because what are we? We're about 10 interviews in right now, Francisco. And not once have we had a comedian go, oh, our holidays, they were decadent. We flew first class to Saint-Tropez. My father was an agent for footballers or something like that. It's never that. It's always like, oh, God. Mom and dad, they threw us in a car.
Yeah, my dad would be like falling asleep at the wheel. And my mom would be arguing with him, trying to get him to let her drive. And he would let her drive.
Oh, wow.
Watch in the rearview mirror. I would watch him going like that. We'd all be terrified because he would be asleep and he would insist on driving.
Yeah.
And my grandma, my mom's mom, had a driveway that was so steep and it was so icy. And would get there, and in my memory, we would get there every year and would not be able to get up the driveway. Go up and then we would slide back down.
Oh, man.
We'd have to go up and we would slide back down. And it's one of those things where you look back as an adult and it's like, why didn't they let us out of the car?
Yeah.
We scared. We slid back down into the street. It was terrifying. But that's how, you know, and that's after like a 10-hour drive.
It's like, I gotta finish it. It's like, just park in the street. No, like, we gotta get up to the driveway. Yeah. That's my Everest.
Probably. Can I ask?
No, because they didn't want me to slide down the driveway.
Right. Right. Can I ask what the older sister nemesis / friend does now?
Yeah, she works at her kids' school. So she's married to a minister and they have 4 kids together.
Oh, right.
She was a stay-at-home mom until like the kids got old enough. And now she works at their school.
Oh, right. Okay. So you took the smart ass route compared to her straight laced.
I would have gotten married if anyone I liked wanted to make
right.
You know, it's not like I was like, I mean, I guess I kind of was like, I'm not going to do that, because someone did propose to me when I lived in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I said no, and I mean, thank God.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I think if you don't want to marry someone, the correct answer is always to not marry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, is that a thing? Is that a lot of people going like, yes?
I think so. There is a bit. There is a few.
But why? Yeah, so. Like, I don't understand that. Like,
I thought I would grow to love him.
Nah.
You know, one thing, like, that's the last time anyone proposed to me. I didn't know that was going to be the last time. It was. And I think do fear that like it's going to be the last time.
No, don't worry.
I think I think we got a whole universal reboot now. I think nothing happened pre 2020, basically. So it's a whole new world.
And also like, you're like all this stuff that you've done. So it works for the best. So like now that all this career moves that you're doing. So
that's right. Get back in Joe Rogan's chat and just start going, look, if you can't have energy drinks with Joe, you can have a few with me. Who knows?
I get a lot of messages from like men asking me out because of that. But I like all my DMs are like spring cleaning. So where it's keep, donate, throw away, you know, I'm like, double tap it and like it. Or I delete it. Or if the person is like asking me for help with something related to like recovery or something where like I can help them, then I'll respond. But any guy who asked me out, I just automatically delete the message. Any guy who like beautiful, I always delete the message, because it's like it's just gonna get. I don't know. It's just
you might need a vetter like the way that your Jessica sorted out all the comments for you. Maybe you should get her, her to be JJ your vetter to go through them and go.
Actually, JJ can maybe help, because JJ belongs to a blind date Zoom. Datings, what is it called?
Can I honestly say, Francisco, I don't know how you can make it sound worse, but you did by saying belongs to at the start. You made it sound like it's a club of sad men that JJ belongs to a blind dating club.
Well, what is it? Can you explain it quickly?
It depends on which we're talking about, because I've been doing the speed dating as well, but I think you're talking about the matchmaker, right, Francisco?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that person that he pays. What is it? You pay the person to match you with somebody?
Yes, Lara, to catch up as quickly as possible. They kind of find you, right? They know that you use the apps and stuff. Then they find you, and then they kind of like cold text you. Basically, let's chat to you. We're matchmakers, so we know what we're doing. And then once they get to the conversational part, they'll offer you the deal. Which is, as I was told, anywhere from $1,000 to $30,000.
And that's the faith I put.
And they'll match you up. I know at no point do you belong, but yeah. So I'll that's the deal.
$30,000
I know. 30 grand is for like the millionaires. And then I was obviously being very budget conscious. And since the guy was, so I asked the guy, what is up with the range? And he goes, like, for $30,000 you get unlimited dates around the world kind of thing. But if it's $1,000, that's just one date. I'll find one match for you. And I was like, well, none of this sounds applicable. But then he also went, if I were you, I would go with the $10,000 level. Which is even more horrible car salesmanship, basically. It's like, you're not going to go 30 and one's too little. So yes, there's a whole world out there, Lara. Don't you worry. It's only going to get more exciting. The great thing is that once you turn them down, they do call you a couple weeks later when somebody of the other opposite sex has paid, unfortunately. And now they're going through their Rolodex trying to find dates.
That sounds
terrible.
Like experience?
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, it is an experience. I've explained to Francisco. I've done three.
It's horrible. I told him like it's horrible. I don't agree with it.
Yeah. I've done three of them now. I feel terrible that the women have paid. It's like I'm a free prostitute. Anyway, the women are paying on their end now, and I've done the date, but one of them was a Mennonite. I don't know why this guy paired me. She was a Mennonite.
What is that?
Person.
An
Amish person.
Yeah, I think of it as like one step up from Amish.
Wait, aren't they not? Don't they don't use computers?
Yeah, she does now. She has evolved into computers. She was like 36 years old. She was 36 years old. She was also works as a doctor and stuff. But she's obviously she's obviously paid the $30,000 to this to the dirtbag go-between guy. So I didn't feel fantastic about being the middleman for this financial exchange via a date. But yes, there's lots of entertainment out here. Don't you worry, Miss Bites.
It's funny because before we move to the next question, I just want to say, like, it's a thing that you, when you mention all the DMs and stuff that you get, it's so, like, as a guy, I never think of that like that because I don't get any of that. I mean, I've never gotten like anything like, you know, because girls, I mean, like, or for me, like, I don't get any like girls like hitting me or anything like that, or even before, because now I have a girlfriend, but like even before that, like it's always a guy, the one that has to like, you know, send stuff. I don't know why I keep doing this. I think this is me pressing send. That's what I was doing.
No, I talked to someone who like featured for you for a weekend, and he was like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have women look at me the way they look at Francisco.
I
doesn't happen. Like it's not. They might look at me, but they never come up to me or they never say anything. So I don't know. You know, it's never it's never a thing that they
don't
approach me
and
they write
me. They don't slide into your DMs, right?
No, not at all.
They don't have that kind of big swinging dick confidence to go, she'll appreciate me popping into her DMs, kind of attitude.
No.
It's like 99% of the time. Their profile is private.
And I'm like, that's weird.
Following you.
Yeah.
I can't see any of your pictures. So I can't.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I'm not going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's weird. That's already weird. I mean.
Yeah, you have to really want strange.
I mean, the only ones that I do get, the only ones that I do get are like, yeah, like you press and it's like, you could tell it's like a bot, like a Russian bot or something. And I was like, okay. But that's it.
Yeah.
Just say hi. I block everyone who just says hi.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I block so many people. Just... Why not?
Wait, so if somebody, so the only way to approach you is saying bye? Or what do you have to say for you not to delete? You have to say the opposite. Bye. Wait a second.
You have to fuck with your mind.
If people write me like a message that's like,
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I just heard you. You're so great. And obviously, like,
a natural, normal message. Hey, I heard you in this podcast, or I saw your special or something, or cool.
Yeah, and I don't block guys for asking me out. I just ignore and delete the message, and it never says seen because it goes to my message request, so they don't know that I ever saw it.
Yeah, that's, I get
that's
that.
A good
they
move.
Can guess that I saw it, but they don't know.
No.
Right.
Yeah, unless I, yeah.
It's a very good strategy.
Third question, JJ.
A little bit of me. So this is pretty cool. You've been doing this job for a while. You hit the road a lot. So the question is there an essential or sentimental item, or maybe even a superstitious item, that you take with you on the road when you go? And I mean, if there isn't, if you're just a stripped down, just hit the road kind of person, that's cool too. But yeah, is there something you keep tucked away in that travel bag?
Yeah, I bring a little blankie with me.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Like a childhood blankie, like a grandma made this for me and I grew up with it kind of.
Which of the grandmas?
For me, just like a little piece of silky fabric.
Okay. All right. Is this a,
but like a handkerchief?
OCD,
I just like the way it feels, and I've slept with it. I've slept with similar fabrics that I've like worn down to tatters since I was a baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. How big is this? How big is it? Like a bed? It's not a bed sheet, is it? Well, actually, if it's a bed, nobody can blame you if it's a bed sheet.
So embarrassing. It's a
nightgown. No, it's a nightgown.
It's a slip. It's a silky slip. And this What's is wrong so with that? Weird. It like when I was a baby and my mom would get up in the night to like comfort me when I was crying, she had a silky nightgown, and eventually she just like gave me a nightgown to sleep with through the night, and I have never stopped using it. But it like, you know, the first one, like,
but it's the same one. It's the same one from once you... Oh, okay.
No.
You just keep buying the same brand?
No.
No, but the same feel. She likes the certain feel.
What I have now is just like a slip I bought from Target.
Right, okay. But it feels good.
I have boyfriends now, and I want to look like a normal person. So if they were to like find it in my bed, it would just be like, it's a
nightgown. Yeah, it's like, but I never seen you wear it. I sleep with it, like literally.
Here, it must have fallen in here.
It must have fallen. I don't know how that got there.
Well, you don't. But you take it on the road and you sleep with it, like in the hotel. You don't like pull it out in the airplane and like and sleep with it in the airplane.
You know.
Oh, okay.
I think that laughter says occasionally.
Maybe the red eyes when nobody's looking.
Depends on how close my carry-on bag is.
I'll put it. I didn't do it this past flight, but before that, I would wear like sweatpants and put it in the pocket, and just have like a bump.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
Okay. Wow, it's not hurting anybody.
No, it's not at all. That is it.
Unless you get.
About it specifically on a public level, but that's a very specific question. That's the answer.
Yeah, that's a fantastic answer. You know, you are the winner. What's that?
Does anybody else have like a blankie or anything?
No, people have said a bear, like a doll or something, like a little teddy bear.
That's weirder. That's dorkier.
Yeah, there you go.
No, everybody has their own thing. I have a ball. I have a baseball that I mean, I don't sleep with it. I just bring it. But I don't put it in my pocket. I'm like,
you're getting ideas now, though. I don't know how that baseball got into bed.
But don't take it out of the bed, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, No, I think that's fantastic. You're right. Yeah, the stuffed animal is weirder. So you're perfectly fine. There's lots of weirder answers. So
yeah, I just like the fabric feels.
That's
cool.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. That's a little bit of a good safety net.
So, I mean, I guess you're...
If you ever forget it, though, do you feel superstitious at all? If you... Or, I never forget it, JJ, but...
Oh, I just would never dream of forgetting it. I'm holding it right now.
This is fantastic.
Wait, are you tired right now?
I saw there's straps on it. Did I see straps?
It's a nightgown. Yes, it's a nightgown.
Well, okay, yeah, I know, but I thought, okay, yeah, never mind.
What kind of nightgowns have you ever seen?
No, I thought maybe the straps would get in the way, but
oh, that's a yeah. slip.
Yeah, no, the straps don't get in the way. Never. Of forgetting it. It's the one thing that I like triple check for.
That's hilarious.
So I left it in a hotel when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Get it back because they like thought it was a rag or like a piece of garbage. They threw it away.
How dare they?
So if you do forget it, you can't, like, it's hard for you to sleep. Like if you forget it on a plane, like not on, like if you're flying and you forget it at home. You just go buy one.
Don't forget it. But honestly, I bet at this point, because I've slept over at guys' houses where I haven't had it, and like yeah. I fell asleep, you know?
Okay.
So I think I could probably sleep without it. It would probably take me, honestly, like maybe 5 minutes to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow. And then, so then you're like, if it's your love interest and he just wears like, silk like pajamas and then has a silk bed, like that's like you're like wow, right?
That would be awesome. But truth be told, so I have like silk pillowcases and it's not the right kind of silk, and I've had sheets before and it's not the right kind of silk, and neither are silk pajamas, but slip are the right material.
Interesting. I'm curious. Well, I don't want to go like Target and start feeling slick. Hey, sorry, I'm just feeling, just want to see the difference.
I mean, you have a girlfriend. Take your girlfriend to Target. And
that's true.
Yeah, figure it out. I bought bamboo sheets over the pandemic, over the quarantine. I got the bamboo sheets. They're so good that I call them the bamboo sheets. They're fantastic.
What do they do?
They're super cool. They're warm when they have to be. They're perfect to the touch. They're better than silk, in my opinion.
Wow, are they soft?
But super soft, super cushy. I don't even know where to start. How great they are! Because I also bought. I mean, hey, if we're gonna talk fabric, let's talk fabric. Let's drill down on this fabric thing. I also bought at the very start of the pandemic. I bought those purple. Weighted breathable sheets that are like part Spandex, part magic or whatever, and they're too heavy and they don't stay in place and they go everywhere, and so whatever, we were in quarantine for a year and I hated these after 3 months, so I doubled down and I bought the bamboo sheets, which were like 3 times more expensive, but best thing ever. That's all I have to say about that. They're delicious.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to. All right.
Little facts there for you. That's all. This is a very informative podcast we've got going here.
Were they very?
They were on the higher end. Yeah.
Like what? Cannot say.
I'm going to say they were probably about $140 or something. Yeah.
Whoa! For like one sheet?
No. What sheets have ever sold by the
sea? I don't know. I don't buy. I think I had the same sheets since ever, so I don't know.
$140 a square foot. No, I can't remember how much they were. I do remember that the purple sheets were like $100 and something, but anyway, they're very good. Get bamboo sheets, everybody, just to let you all know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do it. All right. Next question. Yeah, it's me. What recreational or social activity do you like to do in your spare time while on the road? You know, we always have a lot of time to spend before the shows. So
yeah,
what's your thing?
Going for walks.
Okay.
And I like playing cards. Although the last time I played cards with people, they told me that that my card game wasn't a real game. And it was for like...
I mean, that's a game. I mean, if it's for little kids, it's still a game. What game is it?
What was the game, like Go Fish?
No, it's called Gin.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard Gin. I mean, I don't know how to play, but yeah. I heard about it.
I thought it was really fun. And then
yeah,
let's play a game that I did not think was as fun.
Was it Which poker?
I don't even remember, but it
Uno?
Was
Uno.
The two of them thought it was cooler. No, not Uno. Not
Uno. That's a family road game. That's from what I remember.
Fun too. I'm just laughing because and because they would have had to have a deck of Uno cards. I mean, they would
yeah. Yeah, you can't just play Uno without, you know, you have to have Uno cards. Yeah, like if you're playing Uno, you plan to play Uno. Like Uno's yeah. never like a... Like, hey, you're just going to play cards? No, you want to play Uno because you bought Uno cards.
Yeah, if you're going to suggest it, you better have the pack on you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, hey, let's play a different game. And then they just, like, bust out the back. Like, play Uno. You could have just said that.
Yeah. You want to play? Because, yeah, you can never say, you want to play a card game? Yeah, sure. Uno. Nah, we're playing Uno. There's no other card games. With
I always liked Old Maid.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I don't know how that one works. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, with me, I just know poker. And then there's another one that my girlfriend taught me. It's called Face 10. But that's with also like Uno. You have to have the cards.
Oh.
I mean, I basically play only the games that just with one that are specifically with the card, you know, because yeah, Face 10 is like, it's cool, but it's only with that type of card.
Yeah. Yeah, apples to apples is a fun game, but that's like a word game. But you have to have just that deck of cards.
Yeah.
But you play cards. Is that Jen playing? Is that with yourself or is that you play with other people?
You play it with other people.
Okay.
Also, it's not a kid's game, is it? Like, am I right to assume that's for all ages? So. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to call a kid's name Jen. You know, I think that's the first. Yeah, you want to play an alcohol? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Very adult title. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't have a clue how it's played, but it sounds like it's
cool.
That's pretty cool. I mean, but is that something that you can actually source when you're on the road? Can you go? Okay, can you finish a gig and then afterwards at the meet and greet, or if you're talking to people, then you can go, "Who wants to play some cards?"
Well, you ask for social activity.
Yeah. No, entirely. So that's what
you do, like in the hotel after the show. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool. I would find it hard to start a card game while on the road. I don't think anybody's ever. Actually, I've gone to casinos and played poker when I've been on the road, but I've never been able to recreationally start a game.
One thing that I really like about starting to headline now is people do what I want to do. I suggest stuff and they just take my suggestion.
Yeah.
If I want to go to a place, like we get, it's just so.
Yeah.
I mean, I ask other people what they want to do too. Right. I'm not a tyrant. Yeah.
But you know that power. That's
I know that last year, if I was like, "Do you want to play gin?" They'd be like, "No, we're going to the club. See you tomorrow."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. You have that different mindset when you're like, this is what I'm gonna do. You can come or you don't. But this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Now you get to say, "Are you ready to play gin?" It's not even that kind of question anymore.
Another thing I bring, I've started bringing a can of oatmeal with me and a
bowl. Of what?
And a spoon. Oatmeal.
Okay. All right.
A baggie if I have to fly. If I'm
driving, I'm listening.
Big can. Yeah.
Right.
Wait, I didn't hear that. A can of what?
Oatmeal. Oats.
Oatmeal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like.
A can? I never heard of a can.
That's what it comes in, a cylinder.
But it's not like a
it
aluminum.
Also comes
it's like,
in
it's
pouches,
like plastic,
doesn't
right?
it?
A cardboard canister.
Doesn't it come in pouches?
The kind that I don't eat comes in pouches.
I'm sorry.
It's like a $3. It's like this shape.
And I don't know which one is that one.
Baker on it.
Oh wow! Okay.
Oh okay. Yeah, I love oatmeal. I do it every day.
Yeah, it's just all so right. cheap, and then you don't have to like go out and spend money on like I eat it in the morning and then I eat it at night as a snack.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, those are good snacks. Yeah.
Yeah, because I like to not have to like leave the hotel immediately when I wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very annoying because then you gotta go and like, I wanna go get a coffee or something. And then, I mean, I don't mind going if it's downstairs. Like this one I was staying in, like they had a downstairs like coffee place. So I would just grab it. But like to go walk, I'm like, I don't wanna do that right now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I definitely like to hide from the outside world as long as possible.
Yeah,
like, you know,
warm up to my day.
Yeah, so I'll see the city while I walk to the gig.
Yeah,
you know, and that works for me. Which brings us to the next question, and it's we're still talking on the road and stuff. But is there a tradition or a custom from somewhere that you visited that you would love to bring back to America?
Oh no! And I thought
that's a great answer. That's a good answer.
No,
no.
Everything. No.
America's perfect.
No, that's not what I mean. I just haven't traveled outside of the country enough. I was in Ireland for 3 weeks, but they're like drunks and late
for
everything.
And oh, were you at Kilkenny?
I was all over. And I loved it. I loved it there. I want to go back really bad. I want to spend like a lot of time there. But there's nothing from there that I would bring back that's not like the accent or the geography or like the architecture. You know what I mean? It's nothing that could be transported from there to here.
Right.
Yeah. 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 I went to Ireland too, and I was amazed how much they drink. I was like, wow, this is like, it's like, it was like too much. I was like, they were just drinking like in the morning, and I was like, what, why? Like, and just like chugs of that Guinness.
Yeah, man. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious, the Guinness, you know?
Yeah, but in moderation, bro.
Yeah, not in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, the perfect breakfast. Little bit of Guinness, little bit of black pudding. Off you go.
What's like black pudding? Like an actual pudding?
No, actually. Well, I mean, you guys like your oatmeal and oats. It's pig's blood, and it's congealed pig's blood with oatmeal and oats sliced up. The British and Irish have it on the side of their breakfast. It's a breakfast item.
I ate it, basically. And I didn't know what it was because I was just with like a buffet of Irish food. And so I ate the food. And then someone told me what it was. And I was like, but it wasn't what you described. It wasn't solid. It was like all liquid. And I'm like, I just ate.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
Mm.
Oh, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it shouldn't be liquid at all. It's always like a solid round thing. Are you sure the baked beans? Are you sure the baked beans weren't the liquid part? Oh, right. Wow. Yeah. Generally, it's a congealed like log, and they do little slices of it, and it's absolutely delicious. But it's going to be hard to explain that to you guys right now how tasty it is. But
and was that trip for shows or for like vacation?
It was for school. It was when I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Ah, nice. Right on. Yeah.
What'd you major in, or what were you studying in college?
I double majored in psychology and philosophy.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Nice.
Wow, does that really come in handy in your comedy career? Do you feel that you're tapping into that knowledge a bit when you're writing and stuff and when you're performing?
The thing that helped me the most about it, about like going to college, is I learned how to get rid of a blank page. Like writing all those papers, I learned that you just have to fill up the page with words and it doesn't matter what it says at all.
Right, and then you swoop back around and
you don't wait until you get the idea to write. You write and then you get the idea. So by the time I was like at the end of college, I would just start writing every thought that came into my head. I would write the words like, I think it said this on the board. I remember her talking about this. I remember someone saying this. Like just write everything I could remember about the topic, and then I would look at it and sort it out. And because once you have words on the page, It's technically all editing, and editing is less daunting than writing, you know. And I spent so many hours sitting in front of blank pages that now I spend no time in front of a blank page. I just fill it up.
Right. That's, and do you type or do you write? Or do you do both?
I write. And I even recently, because writing will hurt your hand after a while if you use a pen and paper. And so I recently tried, because I've written two pilots in quarantine. And so I was on my computer a lot and I'm like, this is so much easier. Why do I not do it this way? And I tried to write stand-up and it's too fast. Like I need time to think of the next thing before I'm done writing. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's some kind of like magic that happens when you put pen to paper that doesn't happen for me when I'm typing. And I can have an idea where I'm like, oh, I have a juicy premise. Here we go. Let's like write about it. And if I'm on a computer, I've typed out everything in like 10 seconds and it's like one sentence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I 100% agree with you. When you write something down, you find more nuance with it. And actually, by the time you've finished writing that sentence, your mind has already given you a couple ideas. And you almost distract yourself while you're writing. So it kind of helps your creative process to churn out more ideas. Yeah, 100%. But also, I never learned to type any. I'm a self-taught one-handed typer.
Really? So
I'm probably the wrong generation. You know, but
people used to typewrite. That's still like a thing.
But not like my university dissertation was handwritten. It was 80 pages handwritten.
What?
You know?
Why?
Yeah.
Wait, are you from the 1800s?
All right, let's not. Okay, let's not start discussing how much older than you guys I am. But
why would they make you write something?
75. My tanta had a typewriter and she was 300 years old when she died.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, nobody was writing on typewriters
writing in typewriters when I was like in school.
Were you?
Yeah.
I wrote on my typewriter when she was 95 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I never wrote. Maybe it's a Canadian thing. We never wrote on typewriters at all.
Really?
Yeah, and then we had a computer. We got our first computer lab whenever that was in the late 90s or something, and that was even a pain in the ass. And even still then, you had the option to either go and type it out at a computer lab or they just accepted handwriting. I have very nice handwriting. Maybe that's it. Maybe I just convinced all my professors to accept everything handwritten.
80 damn pages?
Yeah, but like what happens if you mess up?
The wrong word. What happens if you mess up on your 79th page? Well, I guess
you don't have to start over again. Yeah, you can start at the top of page 79. Well, I was living in South Carolina. My dissertation was like, because I took a health degree, so health professions. So I can't picture even having I was working at the Marriott Hotel, Marriott Vacation Club in South Carolina. And yeah, it was an 80-page dissertation about the activities that we had at the resort and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I vividly remember it handwritten. There's no way I would have, nobody, I don't even know anybody who had a typewriter. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even think
100% seems to be. I think what you guys are saying is unbelievable. I'm picturing all these people walking around with typewriters at university in the late 90s.
No, I mean, they had computers back then too. Like, it's not like you could have. I don't think even the person that your professor, I don't think they ever read your thing. I mean, if I would have gotten like, wait, 80 pages written, I'd be like, this person is nuts. I'm not reading this.
No, man. It was a perfect.
Did you get a grade?
Reasonable a grade? Option. Yes, I have my degree. Yes. Yeah.
Was your
I've used it really well.
The book Little Women by Louisa May Alcott?
Yeah.
Did you get marks in the page or there was like, just want nobody, they didn't never mark you in different, like,
oh yeah, no, she marked it all in red pen. I remember her red pen everywhere. And
so she read the 80 pages.
Oh yeah.
If I wrote out 80.
Well, pages, I imagine her, whatchamacallit, her student, you know, what's the under TA or
pages, and someone wrote on it with a red pen, I would make such a scene. I would make them cry. I would make them cry.
Don't forget you have the whole semester to write it, right? So it's like writing like 5 pages a week.
I didn't think that that was I didn't think they gave you a week to do it.
Yeah it's really I don't know, man. I'm baffled. Maybe I should,
I mean, I'm still now in, I can't believe that you're talking on a computer right now, because you could have just written this. You know, like, like, I don't, you would have been like, I don't believe in computers. I'm just going to write. This is, yeah, that's crazy.
I believe in computers. I just never had to use them a lot until I started writing like pilots or for TV or something like that.
I mean, the only time that I had to write pages for school was tests, when you had like essay portion of it. Like, you had to do it in the classroom because it was a test.
Yeah,
but that's it. Well, everything else was computers,
right? Well, I think that's the deal. If you're going to do your dissertation and your work, because I went to Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia, and then now I'm in South Carolina, and I think when you're that far away from, they're not going to police you on whether or not you're using a computer.
I think you went to Hogwarts or whatever that.
Yes, I went to a magic school.
Hogwarts, sorry, not I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, magic. Damn. Wow, that's crazy. All right. Weird little thing that we had to learn.
Perfectly normal to me.
All right. So last question we got for you, Lara. What has been your favorite destination to travel and perform in?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question.
I mean, it could be different. It could be one that travel and then another one to perform it. So you can split it.
Travel Ireland to perform. Ireland. Besides like Hollywood, besides LA, Orlando. The Orlando Improv is.
I performed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah.
What is it about going to Orlando that makes you just is it just the club, is it just the atmosphere of the club, or the
people, you know? Are just such good laughers. I also really love Comedy Works in Denver. I really like Denver a lot.
I've heard of that one. That's really good. Everybody says that one is really good too. I haven't been there, but yeah, everybody always say that club is like really, really good.
Yeah, those would be my favorite places. I also really like casinos.
You do? Yeah. Interesting. Which ones?
All of them.
I don't know. It's funny because casinos is like one. I mean, there could be fun. There could. It's like, to me, I was like, because sometimes you get a lot of people that are like, they're comps, you know, from the casino. So it's like, they're there, but, you know.
Those are rough. I like having a bunch of restaurants and it's included, and I like secondhand smoke.
Oh, and I like it when they give you the money on the room as well, so you can get some room service when they give you a little, you know, whatever, $100 on the room. So
this is where I can get room service. Oh, forget it.
Yeah. No, it's a good call too.
Like casinos, but they're not. I mean, I like Vegas, but it's. I'm not like a gambler or anything like that, so it's kind of like, it's. I like doing stuff outside, but like not stuff that's like, well, I'm gonna be in the casino and gamble and play. That's not my thing. But I don't mind. But I like performing.
I like Lake Tahoe because you can go out and be in nature, and then there's also the casino and like the restaurants and stuff. The Tahoe Improv is fun. But yeah, I mean.
Oh, the Tahoe Improv is fun. Yes, I like that show.
Great.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. The shows are always. I mean, it depends on in like the week that you go or whatever. Like, cause I went once when it was like the week of like, they had like the golf tournament, like the celebrity golf tournament there. It was like in the summer, and like that was like the busiest week that they have. So the shows were really good. There were a lot of people, and it was fun. But But it depends. But that place is great because that one, they give you the restaurant great there. The show is easy, fun. You can just do other stuff throughout the day if you want to ski or snowboard or hike or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, right. So, is it in the casino as well? Is the improv in a casino?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd be a big fan of that too. I love it too because you can go for a walk and you haven't been outside or anything. You've just gone for a walk around the casino, telling yourself, taking it all in. And like you said, this, the secondhand smoke. Fantastic. You've been amazing. Thank you for hanging out with us a little extra. Sorry that we went a bit long. You don't have any worries, but you know, we're just conscious that we're keeping you. You've been awesome. You crushed it. You passed with flying colors.
Thank you so much. So much fun.
Yes. And then also, I'm gonna give one of the dates, and then JJ, if you want to give the other dates, but you're gonna be
down if you want me to rattle them.
Okay, you can just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, she's performing in Phoenix August 5th through 7th, and she's at Mark Ridley's in Royal Oak, Madison, from the 12th to the 14th. Michigan. Sorry, my apologies. Okay. I don't know why I wrote Madison, Michigan. But also, you know, look her up. Like I was saying earlier, I've been looking at her comedy the last little bit and today. Yeah, not only trying to learn how to pronounce her name properly because I was nervous, but also just to watch some killer stand up. And it was fantastic. And it's been even a bigger pleasure to get to talk to you for the last hour. So thank you.
Yeah. And if people want to contact you or follow you and, you know, don't DM you, but just follow you.
Yeah.
On my Instagram, I have a link tree in my bio where you can buy tickets for all those weekends that are coming up.
Awesome.
And that's Lara Bites, right? Lara Bites.
Yeah, and I'm in Rochester, New York, May 5th through.
That's 8th. Right. May 6th through the May 8th, Rochester, New York, at the comedy at the Carlson.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Now we have one last little thing that we're going to ask you on the way out the door, and it's really straightforward. If you don't mind, Fresco, I'll just pose the question to her. We've been asking everybody this on their way out, but is there a fantastic piece of travel advice that pops into your head that you might want to share with everybody? A little travel tip or something, or maybe even a travel tip you were given.
Bring earplugs and a sleep mask and download a white noise app and turn on the fan setting on your heater, because then you can deal with anything the hotel throws at you. Bright lights that come through the window, loud people in adjacent rooms. I suggest getting used to sleeping like that before you travel, so that when you travel, you can fall asleep quickly.
Nice. Right.
That's fantastic advice.
Yeah, I definitely want to. And just quick little thing. Chris Sarvelos has just listened to. She just listened to you on the Joe Rogan podcast, looking for tomorrow class.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But yeah, I like that. That is such a good idea. I think I like the face, you know, not the face mask, but the mask. I think that really works. I mean, but yeah, you do have to get used to it, because if not, then it's weird. And like for us to be on the road, I mean, I think sometimes we do need to go to sleep quick, because either we have a plane to catch or we have to wake up, you know, during the day, you know, to do stuff. So it's like, it's tough, because especially we got that adrenaline going, and then it's like, now I gotta go to sleep. But things like that's definitely help you.
Taking a nap before your shows, you know, I stay on the road than I do when I'm at home. And so to fall asleep during the day, like, people are noisy and the sun's out, but you got your earplugs.
Yeah.
But you don't want your first time wearing a sleep mask and earplugs to be when you're on the road, and so many other things are different. So again,
right.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
That's a good one. And also bring a silk nightgown too.
Bring a piece of silk.
Call it a piece of silk, and then slowly over time admit, oh, well, it's actually an entire nightie. That's fantastic. We're really happy we got to know you better.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time.